Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football Sunday is brought to you by New England Recovery Center in Westboro and by Kubota Tractor and the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. Time now for WEEI Football Sunday with Andy Gresh, Christian Arcand, and Mike Cadlick. Now, WEEI Football Sunday.
We are just 2 hours from kickoff down at Gillette Stadium. The Patriots will take on the Jets at 1 o'clock, and, well, it's the last game of the regular season, but more importantly, it feels like a real sort of fork in the road for the New England Patriots franchise. It's Gresh and Arcand here with you on WEEI Football Sunday. Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline is our friend Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports Boston. And Tommy, I know there's a lot to get to on the Belichick end, but you've also been around this organization for the whole Belichick run. Arguably, the decision that is going to come after this game, is this as big of maybe a fork in the road or kind of a junction point for the New England Patriots as it was, you know, when they were trying to make the decision as to whether to draft Drew Bledsoe or not, Tommy? I mean, is this maybe the biggest decision that Robert and Jonathan Kraft are maybe going to have to make in their football lives?
I don't think it is. I think that allowing Belichick to decide on Brady and the way that you were going to author that exit was a bigger decision, which really led to this decision, which is more of an endpoint than a fork in the road, in my estimation. You know, it was going to come eventually where you would move on. Now, what are you moving on to? I think the decision to who's your quarterback and who's your next head coach may be larger decisions than the decision whether or not to move on from Bill. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There was still gas in the tank with Brady, and they missed that. They didn't realize that, and they moved on, and that led to this, which, despite all Robert Kraft's saber-rattling the last few years, and I documented it in a very long story that I was working on this week, despite all the obvious saber-rattling, the team got worse. So to me, this is the natural progression of things. This is not, to me, it's kind of an obvious decision, because even if the Patriots did flip, which I don't anticipate they will, but even if they did flip from the decision that they made weeks ago because of some 11th hour plea or bout of sympathy or empathy, then what? You're then tethered to a coach who's in a lame duck season, who's still 14 wins away from allegedly a coveted record that he wants to reach, and he's going to need another year to get that. You have a replacement in-house that he already has perhaps a strained relationship with, and you're going to put him in charge after one reboot went bad in 2021 of the next reboot. So he's going to dominate the decade.
Tom,
so to me,
sorry.
Go ahead. No, I'm babbling here.
well, just to sort of to expand on that point, you know, we've read a lot from you and others about how the Krafts are not trying to have this end the same way it ended with Tom Brady. But as you're sort of detailing right now, it can't end the way it ended with Tom Brady, because Tom Brady was still winning when he was here. Tom Brady was still getting to the playoffs. It hadn't crashed and burned like it has right now. So what is it that they're really worried about duplicating, I guess?
I don't think that they want to have the perception there that they didn't give Bill every single chance. That it's painful when you end up ending any kind of relationship, even if it's strained at the end, even if you've grown apart or grown weary and given ultimatums about if this happens again, there's going to be consequences. And then it happens again. And you have to dole out the consequences. I mean, it was very clear in March, after the past two Marches in 21, 22, this past March in 23, again, Robert Kraft at the owners' meeting saying, he needs to produce. I expect to be in the playoffs. And it didn't happen. Talking about the mistake made with elevating Matt Patricia, talking about how much he liked Mac, talking about how much he believed Mayo could be the heir apparent. I mean, all the signs, they were flashing red signs. So to me, they've given all the warning. They don't want to feel as if, hey, you really pulled the rug out from under Bill. I think that they're always concerned with public perception as a company that is invested in selling their product to the public.
Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston here with us on WEEI Football Sunday. It is pretty evident, it seems, from the sweatshirts that the players are wearing to what is on the cover of the program, that it feels like this is Matthew Slater's final hurrah or last hurrah. But also there was some David Andrews slid in there as well, Tommy. Do you think both of these guys could be walking away after this game today?
I'd be really surprised if Andrews did, because I think he's, you know, one of your most stable leaders, or certainly easily the most stable leader on offense. He still plays at a far more than adequate level. They get paid pretty good down there in that league. So I don't know why he would walk away. I really don't. It would be a big surprise to me.
Okay. And then how do you kind of sum up the place Matthew Slater has in Patriots history?
To imagine a guy who covers kicks going from, you know, do you ever think Larry Wiggum, if anybody out there remembers the name, would have become
God.
A transcendent leader for the New England Patriots? People loved him. Larry Wiggum was a special teamer. He was Matt Slater. He was the guy who the team rallied around. He was a Pro Bowl level player. Matt Slater has transcended New England with his unbelievably compassionate, intelligent ability to articulate levels of sympathy. And I mean, to hear him during Hernandez, to hear him during even more recently, the Jack Jones stuff, just always guys get, these are a lot of young men that he works with who have, and get themselves into situations, some of them, where they need extreme counseling and maturity and mentorship because of all the things that they've realized so young in life with the money and the fame. And he's just been an absolute touchstone for all of them. He spoke at my son's graduation from Stonehill College in 2020. Now, because of COVID, they weren't there, but he spoke virtually. And you hang on every friggin' word. And added to all that is, he's an incredible football player. So I don't know if there's many better humans wandering around. And I think people get into that. Oh, he's an even better guy on broadcast. Are you sure he's a better guy? Come on. Matthew Slater is one about whom you can say he's an even better guy than he is a football player. He's exemplary.
Tommy, with this game today, obviously not a lot, you know, in terms of any kind of playoff hopes, but in terms of the draft, do you think that it would be catastrophic, say, if the Patriots were to fall out of the top two and had to go with one of the other quarterbacks, or do you think a win today wouldn't necessarily be the end of the world for this team?
No, I don't think it'd be catastrophic at all, Christian. No. You want to be higher than lower, but as long as you're in the top five, you're going to get a fantastic player in this draft. It's got good tackles. It's got a high-end wide receiver in Marvin Harrison. It's got three quarterback prospects of varying skills that you can certainly target. And you also have the opportunity to move down if you're in that top four and there's still a quarterback on the board and add players. You can get a tackle. You can go find a veteran quarterback someplace else and spend time. And I know a lot of people are like, we only got one grab at that brass ring. Well, you don't want the brass ring to be sitting there getting pummeled every day because he doesn't have a tackle in front of him. So I don't think it's catastrophic. Yeah, it's advantageous. That's why the draft points value chart shows that it's more beneficial to be higher. But I don't think it's catastrophic. Do you guys?
No. I am a little more towards the veteran quarterback sort of way.
I don't love Manning Williams, yeah. So I don't think so either.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm kind of good either way. I sort of know my expectations or what it would be if Bill Belichick were running things. If it's someone else, then I think that throws a monkey wrench into everything, because let's be real, for 23 years, anytime we've had football analysis, a lot of people would give the opinion and then say, but here's what I think Bill is going to do, because we're so trained on to the way the guy thinks about free agency and the draft and all that kind of stuff. And no, I'm with Tommy. I think if anything, the one thing that is very much being underplayed is if Bill gets sent away, Tom, a draft pick swap might be the way to go so that the other team doesn't lose the pick, maybe keep Bill happy, whatever. I think this draft could be absolutely wild for the Patriots, because other than a couple of players, pretty much anybody you want out there in the world of college football that's eligible to be drafted is available to you, given where they're going to be picking in every round.
Yeah, and that's the great point, too. In every round matters. And someone pointed out to me when I threw out a poll this week, it was very good. It doesn't just matter in 2 or 5. It matters in 35 or 38. And, you know, whatever the next numbers are, 96 and 99 or whatever the hell it ends up being. But it matters every round. It's going to dip every single round if you win games or if you go further down the line. So it is a crossroads moment for the franchise, certainly, to go back to your original question. But I don't think the decision is as mentally wrenching as it is emotionally wrenching.
Are you in any feels today?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I've covered this team since 97. It's all I ever wanted to do. Growing up when I was 10 years old in Pembroke, Massachusetts, 76 Patriots were the first team that I covered. When I realized I wasn't going to play football, I wanted to cover football. I read Ron Hobson every friggin' day in the Patriot Ledger, and I couldn't believe how happy I was when I covered the first draft when they took Chris Canty in 1997. And I developed what I thought was an excellent relationship with Belichick, really beginning in 2001, and it lasted for a long time. And then, you know, as it is with Bill, if he doesn't like what you're writing, if you don't hew to his angle of coverage and you become a little bit more critical, he can deal with the criticism. I just think that if it's an avalanche in one direction, which it certainly, I think, became for me in the case of Brady, because I didn't think it was a great idea. And I was told how often from behind the scenes from multiple sides, how Bill was really pushing him out the door. It became very clear, as I reported out during the period 2017 to 2020, these are the things that are going on behind the scenes to make sure Tom leaves. Multiple sources, and you know, that really probably drove a little bit of a wedge between. But the guy's been, you know, I've had phone calls, I've had dinners, I've had time with him, and I've learned more than I could have ever hoped. So, yeah, I'm a little bit in my feels.
Yeah, good day, good stuff there from Tom Curran joining us on WEEI Football Sunday. Catch him on Gresham Fourier on Tuesday, and then with Jones and Mego with Arcand on Thursday afternoon. Tommy, have a good one. We'll catch you next week.
All right, buddy. Have a great day. See you, Chris.
All right, there we go. Kind of went around the horn a little bit. I know that Reverend Arcand's a little busy today. The church has got a leak in the roof, and you know, Reverend Arcand's got to hop on the roof for that. But we're going to kind of take a walk through what was a pretty painful season at times coming up next. But Arcand's got some trending here for you on WEEI Football Sunday.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We are right back to WEEI Football Sunday on WEEI.
All right, for the last time, welcome in. It is the Reverend Arcand, and rather than a scouting report of a team that we've already played, and I say we like I'm on the team, obviously I'm not, but the Jets are a team that we have seen already this year, let me put it that way. So what we're going to do instead, I was thinking maybe another trivia quiz, except we're all remote. Gresh and Cadlick's not in with us today, except for that one segment. So I decided, why not have a retrospective of the season in the form of a kind of weird award show. So without any further ado, we got a lot of categories here, and we'll start off with our first category. There aren't a lot to choose from, so I figured this would be the one. How about best win of the year? There's only a handful that you even get to pick from. So Gresh, what is the best win of the year?
Oh my God. I mean, I don't know if we really have any other choice other than it's got to be the Buffalo game. And I think the reason that I really like it, well, number one is Mac, but number two is look at how that victory by New England has completely backed the Bills into a corner almost all season long that they've had to fight out of. I know that if the Bills beat the Dolphins, they can win the division today. There's also a scenario where the Bills might not make the playoffs. And really, that New England game, I think when the Bills look back on their season, Arcam, they're going to look back and say, damn, if we just don't blow it against New England, who had a terrible year, we could have been on easy street this week.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd say the other one that sticks out is the Broncos win, because it was a last-second, you know, kick there, and Ryland, it was a nice, dramatic, fun win. The Jets win was really ugly. I don't think anybody particularly cared for that one. Yeah. And the Steelers game was fine. I mean, that wasn't a bad win or anything, but I'd say the Broncos one was a little more exciting, so that would probably be my my runner-up there. All right, we got our best win. We have a lot to choose from in this next category, and that is worst loss. What was the worst loss of the year, Gresh?
You know what? This one is going to feel a little weird to some, but I'm going to say the Washington loss, because even, what was it, a 2-5 or 2-6, and then there was the run of, well, here comes like Washington, Indianapolis, and the Giants. And there was at least a little bit of hope because it was, okay, this team can play defense. If they can just find a way to be average on offense against these bad teams, then, yo, okay, can you get it to 5-6 and maybe have a chance? And then it was the loss to Washington that really just kind of took away all hope. And then it got worse, leading to the whole thing in Germany with Mack and the Colts game. But I kind of look back on Washington, and at least for me, it should have been a bigger warning sign that, okay, they're not going to pull the nose up. But at least going into Washington, they had the chance, and there was a half, at least a half idea of hope, and then it was all dashed.
Yeah, that was, you had beaten the Bills. No one really expected you to beat the Dolphins, but you had a nice soft landing. This was going to be the easy part of your schedule, Commanders, mm-hmm. Colts, Giants, and they didn't win any of those games. I would say the Colts was the one I was going to pick, but I'm going to go with the Saints loss because that was sort of a similar thing to me, too. You get beat by good teams. You got beat by the Eagles. They were in the Super Bowl. The Dolphins look like a high-flying team. You beat the Jets. You get smoked by the Cowboys, but here come the Saints to mm-hmm. Gillette Stadium, a home game, and that's not a good team there in New Orleans this year. I'm sorry, they're just not. I know they're fighting for a playoff spot, but who isn't in that crappy division? And they came in here and shut you out, and it was as bad as Max looked all year. So for me, the worst loss of the season was the 34-0 drubbing at the hands of New Orleans. All right, let's get to our next category, and that is, who was the best rookie this year? Which rookie that was drafted this year had the best season, Gresh?
Well, I know a lot of people like Pop Douglas, and Behringer has had a hell of a year, but I'm going to settle in on City So.
Wow.
And I know that the O-line has had issues, and the left side has been, you know, in and out. Trent Brown in, Cole Strange is in, all that. But once they decided to settle in on the right side in putting Mike Onwenu at tackle, City So has been a pretty nice compliment for him. And I think, you know, given the turmoil on the offensive line, the fact that those guys never had any continuity, the fact that So has been able to settle in with Onwenu on that right side, I'm going to go with City So, and I probably would have gone Pop Douglas had he not gotten dinged up, but everybody is going to undersell the fats. I like what So has done, even though in the beginning of the year, I admit I didn't like him. I liked Moffy more. Moffy couldn't deal with any twists. So got in there and was respectable against them.
Well, there's a big upset. Gresh goes with an offensive lineman.
That's
shocked.
Right.
I'm going to go with Behringer because while everyone praises the defense, and rightly so, I mean, the defense was great this year. The reason why the Patriots were in a lot of these games that they shouldn't have been in because the offense was so dysfunctional was because Behringer was really booming those punts and putting the other team at bad field position, which made things easier for the defense. That's not to say they did that every time. There was plenty of instances where it was a turnover or something like that. But, I mean, Behringer, I think, was unsung. Not an unsung hero, because that's going to be a hero on a four-win team. But if the defense is going to get as much credit as they get, then he deserves a lot of credit, too. All right, who was the worst rookie this year?
Oh, by far. I don't even think there's even a question. I mean, it's got to be Ryland. He just wet
worst kicker in the league statistically.
Yeah, was just wet his pants half the time, and yeah, that one did it. For as good as Behringer has been, Ryland has struggled just as much. And by the way, quickly, if I give just to the good side, mm-hmm. Keon White's here is kind of flying under the radar.
I was going
to
mention him. Yeah,
yeah, he is setting himself up to be a big part of this defense next year. Yeah, but, I mean, old Ryland's got to, you know, take this one on the chin.
Yeah, tough rookie season for Ryland. The only guy I'd say is in the ballpark is Kayshon Booty, but he was a sixth-round pick. Really had that first game and then couldn't get back on the field. Yep. There was that whole thing about him in practice and all that, so I'd say he had some real growing pains as well. All right, let's get to our next category, and that is the best free agent signing that Bill made this offseason. Again, not a lot of great options here, but who do you think was his best signing?
Oh, my God. Like, I'm trying to go through. None of the tackles worked out. None of the wide receivers worked out. Juju has been massively disappointing based on what he's been paid. Gesicki didn't work out. Like, I'm trying to think, who did they add on defense? I guess almost by default. I got to go Zeke by default, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, Zeke's not a bad
is
one.
That it?
I was thinking either Zeke or Gesicki, even though he had a bad year, but he wasn't. I mean, there's guys that didn't play, like Calvin Anderson and, you know, Riley Reeve and some other guys. So let's go to that one. This is probably the better question. Who was the worst free agent signing that Bill made?
Oh, my God. You know what? I'll look at the O-line and go Riley Reeve, because
I agree.
What I don't think people realize is they actually paid him some real money. They expected him. I think the Patriots expected Riley Reeve to either be the ultimate swing guy for them so that they had a trusted veteran they could go to in case people struggled, or he was supposed to be either the right guard or the right tackle. And my thought is it would be right tackle beside Onwenu, who would have been in at guard. So, no, it's got to be Riley Reeve, because he ended up getting real money, and I think they wanted to count on him. Plus, Arcand, honest to God, I don't remember any defensive free agent signings in the offseason that really stand out.
I know. I'm struggling to think of any myself. And I agree with you that it's Riley Reiff, and I don't even think it's Riley Reiff's fault. It's not like he had a bad attitude or something. It's just he was banged up. And Belichick this week, he was asked about the tackle situation. He's like, well, this isn't how we expected it to go. Yeah, because you put so many eggs in this Riley Reiff basket, and when that didn't end up working out, you were really left with nothing. And that's why Vedarian Lowe played so much, and why he had to move on Wenyu over and had to do all these other things, because you really sort of set it all on Riley Reiff instead of going for one of the real free agents who was out there. All right, let's get to another positive one here, and that is most improved player. Who was the most improved player this year, Greg?
Woo! Great question on this one. Barmore's come on as of late.
Yep.
I can't go with a rookie. I got to go with somebody who was at least in the league. There's a part of me that wants to say Peppers, but he was pretty good last year as well. So I almost feel like I'm kind of underselling what Jabril Peppers did last year. Oh, man. I can't even go.
You can
with
go Barmore.
Andre.
Barmore's a good one.
Yeah, I guess Barmore would be the guy that I would. Yeah, okay. I guess I'll go Barmore as the guy that I land on, because there isn't anybody else other than Peppers, and Duggar's played pretty consistently. So I'll go Barmore.
The only other guy I would say is Mac Wilson, who's very quietly had a nice year for this team. He's made a bunch of plays. He was someone who I just sort of thought was roster filler last year, and this year has established himself as certainly something more than that. So
hey,
I'll give it to Wilson.
Hey, quickly on that, I'm glad you bring him up, because if we remember last year, there was the focus on the Patriots defense needing to get faster. And Mac Wilson was supposed to be one of those guys, a faster linebacker.
Right.
And then you get Josh Allen rolling out to the right in Gillette Stadium last year, and he swats Mac Wilson away like he's a gnat and threw that awesome touchdown pass. And I'm thinking, oh, man, they got the wrong guy. I'm glad you highlighted him, because from that moment, the guy has grown into that, like, speed linebacker role. So good pull by you on Mac Wilson.
All right, our next category is the biggest disappointment of the year. That can be any faction of the team, offense, defense, special teams, coaching, whatever you want. What was the most disappointing thing this year, Gresham?
This is easy. The quarterback situation just did not work out as expected. And look, I'm a Mac guy, and you look at what happened with him in the Philly game. If you look at that version of the guy, and then the dude who couldn't make a simple throw to win a game in Germany, it has been such a precipitous drop where a lot of bad habits developed because of some of the stuff going on around him. But, I mean, to me, I don't think there's even a position group that is closer. And I know there have been position groups that are way down this year, and the O-line is one of them. But No position group has been more disappointing than the quarterbacks.
Yeah, the quarterback's been bad. I'd say the wide receiver's right up there, too. I mean, there wasn't much invested in it. Same with the offensive line. It's just the investment wasn't really there. Outside of Riley Reiff and some fourth, fifth, sixth-round guys, at wide receiver, you didn't really add. You just kind of replaced. You had a chance to add, and you gave Parker more money. That was all very disappointing, and the result of it was very disappointing, too. All right, here's another one. Here's a category for you, Gresh. What pending free agent do you most want them to re-sign? You can only pick one. Which guy do you think they need to bring back?
You got to go Hunter Henry, because the market is weak. You know he can fit here. The guy's got game. And he's been a good soldier here, too. You know, whether it's doing, you know, sometimes crappy interviews with us on WEEI, or standing there and really taking it on the chin. And after some of those tough losses, being one of those guys that went out there and was like, hey, you know, we just got to keep going, da-da-da. He did a lot of grunt work and a lot of leadership work for this team. So to me, it's Hunter Henry. Where do you land?
Yeah, I would say Henry's right up there. I'd also maybe look at Kyle Duggar, just because I think that in terms of like young talent, he's still a young player who I think can get better, and I think he's still on a trajectory of getting better. He's not perfect, obviously. He's gotten burned a couple of times this year, but he's someone that I would certainly want to hold on to if you're trying to keep this defense together in any level. I mean, you know, it all depends on who the next guy is if they move on from Bill. But Duggar, I feel like, is a guy that they could use in the next iteration of whatever this team is. All right, here we go. Here's one. Next category is the play of the year. What was the play of the year, Gresh?
This season, it's one of two plays that would be like if they did a DVD, which I don't think they do anymore, but did the DVD of the 2013 season. On the box cover would be one of two throws from Mac Jones. The one across the body in Dallas that got picked sixth, or the wide open Mike Gesicki fondling himself in the end zone and the ball falling like 8 yards short.
Yeah.
Those are the perfect descriptions of the 2023 season for this team.
I like the direction you took that, and the ones I went with were two good plays, and they were the only two good ones of the whole season. Mac to Gesicki on the walk-off touchdown against Buffalo, a game-winning drive for Mac Jones. I mean, how often do you see something like that? And also when Jabril Peppers hit Devontae Adams so hard, the ball went flying up in the air. That was another play that I happen to like this year. Again, not much to choose from. All right, who was the team MVP, Andy Gresh?
Oh, my God.
This is a tough question.
Bryce Behringer, probably. No, it's got to be somebody on the defense, because there were so many guys on that side of the ball who really played well. I can't think of one. There is not one. The only guy offensively that I could even give some love to would probably be Zeke Elliott. And a lot of that is because things are out of control. But I can't go there. You know, Dietrich Wise had a nice year. You got Barmore in there. I'll go with Peppers.
All right. I'd go with Juwan Bentley. He was the green dot there on the defense.
Sure.
On a defense that I think really overachieved this year. He's an unsung sort of player. He's not, you know, a big sack guy, but he can do a lot of things well. He did get some sacks this year. He's good against the run. He's good in coverage, and he's been a good soldier here for a lot of years. All right, here's a bonus one. If this is Bill Belichick's last game, Gresh, what is your top career Bill Belichick moment? What's the number one moment of his career that stands out to you?
Okay, it should be finding a way to win Super Bowl 36 with the group that he had. And Fourier and I, as you know, have been going through the 03 season. They were no great shakes offensively in 03 either. Mm. I think people kind of forget about that. It's probably Super Bowl 36, but for me personally, I'm not the Mona Lisa Vito of football. It's just, I mean, how do you top that? In the world of coaching and press conference, it was just so brilliant during Deflategate. So I'll go Super Bowl 36, but for me, it's the Mona Lisa Vito line.
Yeah, that was a great one. For me, it is we're on to Cincinnati. And I know it was a brief thing, and it was really sort of, you know, at the time, just kind of considered this, you know, blowing off another question. But if you think about the context of that and sort of the renaissance of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, for that matter, that was that year, the 2014. It seemed like things were unraveling. They had lost to Denver in the playoffs the year before. They lost in the Super Bowl in 2011. It seemed like that was maybe the end. And rather than sort of, you know, give them anything, nope, we're on to Cincinnati, and they were on to a Super Bowl that year, and then they won two more. And it was really, I think, what cemented Bill as the greatest of all time. So that's it for me.
You know what's crazy about that is the we're on to Cincinnati, because we were playing some of the best of Bill on Gresh and Fourier on Friday, and that came up. And I think what I forgot was the question that Albert Breer asked during that. And it was about, have you done enough to put talent around your 37-year-old right. quarterback. How crazy is it that now, what, 10 years later, it's a different name in there, but it's the same question having been asked to Bill Belichick. Yeah, it's pretty crazy because I forgot about that with Breer, because that whole exchange – that one and the one of Seattle when the Trump letter came up,
right?
And Bill started to get questions down there, and he would just go Seattle,
yeah,
Seattle. That one tickled me too. But it is interesting on that whole. We're on to Cincinnati. Even then, there were still questions about, again, mentioning the age of Tom Brady, because everybody thought the clock was ticking and he just beat Father Time. But also the, have you done enough around him? It's amazing.
Yeah, I'd agree. Joseph, do you have a Belichick moment?
I mean, I spent a lot of time chopping up Belichick, you know, here at the radio station, and all his grunts and groans always entertain me, and I can't really pick out one, but yeah, there was some highlights in there, and I look forward to not chopping any more Belichick.
Hey, I am convinced, Arcan, that so for me, I was on the Patriots Radio Network from 05 through that 14 season in the championship, right?
Right.
I am convinced that in either 08 or 09, that Belichick was doing the Peter Griffin and sucking the hot dog up through his nostril and then, like, chewing it up and then going to the podium. I swear, it was unbelievable. You know, old Zip Zipstein Zone, I used to kind of make fun of that because it was sounded like Bill had just got done eating something and then we'll go to the podium and it just something was like stuck in his head or whatever. We couldn't figure it out. And it was like one full year where he was really snorty. And then after that, it's just kind of been in and out.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to edit it out in post, too. It's just everywhere.
You can't. No. Oh, no, you can't. It's a total nightmare to the, you know, and every once in a while, you'll get like one of these. You know, like that's bad right. enough to begin with. But when you get the this and the... And then he finally gets in and he's getting in, starting his press conference. It's impossible with this guy.
Yeah, and I'm a serial throat clearer, so I mean, I have no room to talk. I don't know if you ever heard the songs Ryan's made of me clearing my throat on the
show. Oh yeah, they're pretty funny.
The snorting is like that's a whole nother thing. The snorting is like a warthog, you know. It's just that, you know, like where does that
come from? Like a pig running through the woods and you're man. When you finally nail that thing, and there you go. I don't know if that's the squeal that Bill Belichick will make after tomorrow's meeting with the Crafts. We do have some, we've got some inactives for you. We got the injury report from our friends of the Catches Law Group. Fourier is going to join us at the top of the hour. He's always in at noon after he's done being a fancy TV guy. And I do kind of feel like we need Arcan to maybe play a little bit of a game of, you know, I don't want to say like here or not, but I wonder about the futures of certain people tied into this Patriots organization. And I totally. Kind of want to get your, well, I want to get your thoughts on the coaches, because it's more than just Bill Belichick. So we will hit that, give you the Patriots inactives as well, next on WEEI Football Sunday.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back to WEEI Football Sunday on WEEI.
We will
We'll get to Christian Fourier coming up at the top of the hour. It's 11:47. Gresh and Arcan here with you on WEEI Football Sunday. Time for the Pro Football Injury Update, sponsored by the Catches Law Group, the official law firm of the New England Patriots, or you pay nothing unless Catches wins at catcheslaw.com. Patriots inactives here, Arcan. Tyquan Thornton inactive. Josh Bledsoe, Jamichael Hasty, LaMichael Petway, Trent Brown, Sam Roberts, Hunter Henry was already ruled out, and Mac Jones is the third QB slash emergency quarterback today.
That's interesting. I saw that and thought, oh wow, okay, well that's something I wasn't expecting. Did you know that there was someone named LaMichael Petway on the team, by the way?
I did not know that. And the guy who is the backup quarterback today, Nathan Rourke. I didn't even know who the hell that was.
Yeah, Rourke. I remember they signed Rourke because I've been tracking all the quarterback transactions that there's been this year. There's been a ton of them. It's ridiculous. I'll have a year end thing about that when all is said and done. I'd like to see this kid get in there. You might as well. He was the one who was in the CFL. Remember, he was like this hero up in Canada. And,
oh, really?
Jaguars had him in. Yeah, he was this stud up in Canada. And now he's trying to break back into the NFL. He was with the Jaguars on like the scout team or the practice squad or something, and the Patriots signed him. And yeah, Mac is the emergency QB. I mean, I don't know. I think that pretty much signals what's going on there. I think that probably signals the same thing with someone like Tyquan Thornton too. I mean, that's just someone who has not been able to get it going here in New England.
Hasn't been able to get on the field at all. So I'm looking up Nathan Rourke. He was with the BC Lions. You mentioned Jacksonville, and then here in New England. So he spent 1 year at Fort Scott Community College, I guess it is, and then went to Ohio University to play for Frank Solich, I think it was, in whatever kind of offense they're doing there. And then with the BC Lions, hang on, he was the highest drafted Canadian quarterback since Jesse.
What a distinguished honor that is.
Oh, well, but this is great, though. So it's he was ranked as the 7th overall prospect in the 2020 CFL draft after being ranked 3rd overall in September of 2019. He was eventually drafted in the 2nd round with the 15th overall pick by the BC Lions, the highest drafted Canadian quarterback since Jesse Palmer in the 2001 CFL draft.
How about that? I didn't even know Jesse Palmer was Canadian.
I'm wondering it is the right Jesse Palmer. He was apparently born in Toronto.
Good for him.
I had no idea. I thought he was just a red-blooded American, for crying out loud. Wow. So there it is on the Patriots inactives. So it looks like Mac won't no need for what is it, Fox or CBS, whomever, to focus on the sideline or anything like that. They sort of take that away, and who knows if Nathan Rourke is going to get in there. I guess on a day like today, it's good to have a Canadian versus a Floridian, I guess, as the backup.
That makes sense.
It's a mess. Yeah,
I wonder
if that's a part of this. Or
well, no, I wonder if maybe Bill was like, hey, it's my last game. It's bad conditions. If something happens to Zappi, I don't want to have to put Mac out there, so let's put him as the third. Maybe, because why else would they do this?
I could totally understand that part of it, and I could also totally understand why right now they would have zero confidence in Mac at this point. So, you know what, in a weird way, it kind of makes sense. WEEI's coverage of the football postseason is brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. Hey, I don't want to go into full-blown Fourier imagination land, but kind of walk with me here a little bit.
Okay.
If the Crafts do decide that Bill Belichick is gone and it isn't an elevation from within, because that's what we've kind of been talking about, but let's take that out of the scenario here. Bill Belichick is gone. Someone is coming in with something completely fresh. It's no one that's being elevated from the staff. What do you then do with the de facto defensive coordinator in Gerard Mayo and the real offensive coordinator in Bill O'Brien in that instance?
Well, I don't necessarily think you'd have to do anything if they end up bringing in someone like Brian Flores or someone who's been here before and who maybe wasn't going to get a whole lot of bites outside and was, you know, sort of looking for a job. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how Bills brought a lot of these guys back. Let's be honest here. No one was looking to hire Matt Patricia or Joe Judge after they flamed out as head coaches. They came back here. They worked for, not for free, but the Patriots didn't have to pay them. So, I mean, Right. There was that whole aspect of it, too. And I wonder if someone like, you know, Flores, if they decided to bring him back just because they know him and they're comfortable with him, or someone like Mike Vrabel, let's say, who's familiar with Mayo, played with Mayo, was there when O'Brien was there. I mean, you know, that wouldn't be the most ridiculous thing. If they bring in someone like Harbaugh or, you know, Ben Johnson or Frank Smith, somebody like that, I would want, and I don't know if they do it, but I would want for them to be able to pick their own staff and their own coordinators. I just think that that's, you know, the courtesy you give a new head coach. And if the Crafts aren't willing to do that, then I don't think they're going to be really in the running for any of those guys. You know, like if that's a stipulation is, hey, you're coming in here to be the head coach, but you got to keep Mayo and you got to keep O'Brien, then I think a lot of these coaching candidates are going to say, no, thanks. I'll go somewhere where I can build my own staff.
You scratch right where I itch on that one, because there are always ways within these coaching searches to be able to turn people off, right? Like,
right.
I know one point in time before, like when Mark Whipple was at UMass and started to kind of bounce around the NFL a little bit, there was a major New England institution who interviewed him for their head coaching job, but they said, well, you got to keep, you know, 80% of the assistants. And he was like, nah, forget about it. And that's when I realized, it's like, oh, that's how you drive people away. That's how you get what you want within these interviews. And, you know, I'm glad you kind of went there and brought it up, Arcan, because that's how you can get your guy, if it is someone in-house that you really want to put in there. I ask the question in part because I don't know if that Carolina owner, David Tepper, would be nutty enough to bring Bill O'Brien in for an interview to maybe be the head coach down there, considering his connection to Bryce Young. But it does kind of make me wonder if, in a weird way, this was a disaster of an offensive season, but that Bill O'Brien still might be of interest to an owner or two in the league. It'd be a tough sell.
That's an interesting point. And, you know, sort of one, which was kind of the reason why O'Brien was thought to be good here, because he had that connection to Mac Jones. He didn't actually coach him, but they almost overlapped, and they talked a lot about, you know, the offense and everything. And, you know, that was part of their rapport, and part of what a lot of people reported was going to be a good thing about this whole marriage of bringing O'Brien back. I would think that Tepper or anybody in Carolina would sort of look at that and go, oh, okay, maybe it wasn't so much who the coach or the offensive coordinator was. Maybe it was the fact that they had all these world-class wide receivers to throw to, like, you know, Ruggs and Mechie and Jerry Jeudy and all those guys, you know, and Jalen Waddle and all these people. Like, maybe that had a little bit more to do with the success that they had down there than Bill O'Brien did.
I'll tell you what, I think there are a lot of people that are going to look at Jaden Daniels pretty hard that way off of what you said, like the, you know, how do they do against top competition? But let's realize, you know, there's a Coppin State and a Vanderbilt and, you know, a Mississippi State thrown in there as well, who are respectable programs if your kid's getting a scholarship to go there. However, competing for an SEC title is not exactly what some of those institutions are known for.
No.
Well, we'll welcome in another Colorado Buffalo. Our buddy Christian Fourier kicks off the final hour of the final WEEI Football Sunday next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.